This is exclusive access into the heart of racing. The Racing Pulse Inner Sanctum.
Welcome back to Racing Pulse in the Inner Sanctum. It is great to have one of our great mates, and he's also a very astute punter and tipster, Simon Zara. How are you, mate?
I'm very well. It's a bit of a hell getting here, but finally got here.
Beautiful weather in Melbourne, but you've still got your 24/7 all year round suntan, so you're looking magnificent. Yep. SMSs are starting to flow through, because just before the break, I put it out there and said, give us your horse crush, because I found out that my producer is a little bit weird, and he carries a laminated photo of Lonro, and he also has his phone number, the last six digits. And for the first time ever, my producer, Benny Day, is going to jump on air with us here, Simon. Benny, Lonro, you're a bit of a rain man. Give us some Lonro stats.
Felgate, well, he was the 344th foal born in 1998 at Woodlands. He was the last foal, the 10th of December 1998 he was born. 35, 26, 3 and 2, I think, are his stats. 5.791 million in prize money, 11 Group 1s. I remember going to Vodafone. I was on the Goldie at the time. I was at uni. He basically put me through uni. I went to Vodafone, and it was the first time I was getting a mobile phone, and they said, you can choose the last six digits of your phone number. And that was a big thrill. So I just, 10, 12, 98, that'll do me. And it's been the last six digits of my only phone number.
And you still got a laminated photo of him in your wallet?
I've got 367 newspaper clippings in a cerise folder under the bed, and I've got one that's laminated in the wallet.
And the most surprising part of this is that you actually are married. You found someone to marry you, and you
absolutely. I've got a little boy. I've
and
got
another one on the way.
Absolutely, another one on the way.
Now, Simon, you actually were at the stable with Lonro when he first came in as a two-year-old, working for Hawksy.
Yeah, we prepared him for the Blue Diamond. He won the preview, and then was a fraction shinny going into the Diamond, and didn't disgrace himself. And then
should have won the Blue Diamond.
Yeah, probably should have. But he came back and won the Guineas in the spring. But he was an amazing horse to work with. He was a bit like his old man Octagonal. There wasn't much difference between them.
Yeah. See, I'm not the only one by the sounds of it, Felger.
Well, who was your horse crush, Simon?
Matthew and I used to walk to school in primary school, and we saw a fair bit of Bone Crusher walking the back streets of Mentone, and you know, he was an amazing horse when he came to Australia. It was a funny thing. There's a guy used to walk behind him with a shotgun walking behind him. So
really?
I'm not sure that had happened in this day and age, but in those days, they had a 24-hour bodyguard around the horse.
For big Bone Crusher. That is outstanding. You've started something here, Benny, because a lot of SMSs coming through. My man crush, Rough Habit, and now it's Our Big Mike. That's from Wardy. He's no pie eater, trained by Graham Rogerson. That's from Greg from Geelong. Vane, Taj Rossi coming through. Empire Rose, that's a great one. She was one of mine as well. My first ever punt and hit the money in the cup. So Called, that's from Tony in Bendigo. So plenty of SMSs coming through. Benny Day, great to get your dulcet tones on.
Thanks
air.
For having me in here.
And I'm a little bit concerned, as is everyone now at RSN 927, about your mental state, but that's the passion of racing, isn't it, Simon?
Yeah, we've all got horses that get us and keep us into the industry, and Benny's is a bit scary, actually.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Your new pin-up would no doubt be Aristia. How's she going? Is she back in the stable or still enjoying some time off?
And she was by Lonro too, so
yeah.
I'm different. Benny might have backed it. But she's actually, a few of the guys are going down there to see her today. We got a photo of her earlier in the week. She looked fantastic, and if all goes to plan, she'll go back in the pre-training on Monday.
Gee, what you did with her this spring carnival, when she walked into the stable for this campaign, in your wildest dreams, did you foresee that?
Possibly not, but as the preparation went on, she just continued to round up and really come on. And it was funny because we had met Marcel Madrid and her go to Adelaide at the same time. They spelled at the same time and came back in the stables at the same time. And she just continued to flourish throughout the campaign. And he sort of struggled a bit off a short break. And we put him in the paddock and she just kept getting better. And I remember looking at her Monday morning before the Oaks, just after the wait for when she looked better, and then the barrier jaw came out, and we were pretty confident from there on.
And she was always underrated, wasn't she?
Yeah, like I say, the biggest myth in racing is those horses that get back and run on, and people continue to say, "Oh, they're the black boogers." And but if you sort of watched her run at Caulfield, it was a massive run, and the winner just tracked us the whole way, and she hit the front and got a bit lost. And Damien did wait a while because he knew what she'd do, and then she learned a lot from that. The winkers went on, and from there on, she was just a complete different horse. And you know, they just, if they do everything right, and I think your systems come into play a bit. She ran in that 2-year-old race at the Valley last Friday night. So she was quite seasoned compared
to... Last Friday night, 12 months ago.
Yeah, she ran in that race and she ran third. She had a short campaign in the autumn, and the spring was always our target from 12 months ago. But the 1,000 guineas was the original one, but as she went into her preparation, we just kept telling First Light and the owners that you wait till we get this filly to 2,000 and then you'll see the best of her, and it happened.
A great story for racing with the Derby and the Oaks winner, both syndicated horses. You've got First Light Racing, and you had Brad Spicer winning the Derby as well. And I know you've been a great champion, and First Light have been of your stable as well. So a big win for that team.
Yeah, look, you know, it's funny. You continue to go through and you don't win a Group 1 for a while, and you sort of fall off the radar a touch. No matter, you look at your stats and they're always up there, I think. You know, we ran fourth in the premiership in Victoria overall and in the Metropolitan with 60 horses in work. And you're sort of not on the radar, but when you win a Group 1, you sort of bounce back. And the same with the First Light Racing. They were, you know, sort of winning the races around the bush and a couple here in town. And then, you know, a horse like her comes along and, you know, it just gives you a big boost and gives your business a big boost.
And it came at a good time for you guys, didn't you? Because you've been training winners, but it's been a while since you've had a headline Group 1 horse. Had it been a tough time for yourself and Matt?
Yeah, no, I think you just got to keep turning up every day like you do and go to the races and present. And I think things turn around. And it's not to say we didn't have a good horse. You know, it was like Heatherly come through the stables and Booker and the sort of list goes on, but you just need that horse to take you to another step. And Heatherly, I think she ran in 4 Group 1s and was placed twice, you know, and it just shows you how hard it is to win a Group 1. And, you know, and it's like, I think it's 7 years since we won one. And, you know, you get a little bit frustrated, but, you know, you just got to back your judgment, back your systems, and eventually... something will pop up.
It is amazing when you say that 7 years. I wouldn't have thought it was that long between Group 1s. How frustrating was that?
Yeah, it is. It's like anything, like an AFL footballer or anyone who competes at the top echelon that, you know, you're back in the twos and you can't get a run in a Group 1. And I think we had, I'd say, roughly around 20 runners in Group 1s, but we knew deep down we couldn't win them. But this is, you know, one of the first times going into a Group 1 we were very, very confident that we could be in the finish, and it did eventuate. But, you know, they're not easy to win.
Did you question what you were doing at any stage, the horses you were selecting, the way you guys were training?
Not really. But I think through the winter we had a really bad patch. Not a lot went right. It's been probably one of the toughest winters we've sort of endured as a business. Coming off our best year, things were going wrong. You know, and you sit there and you do go home and scratch your head. You go to the races and horses run last and second last and third last, and you just go home and say, oh, you know, what are we doing wrong? But I think you got to hold your nerve. And again, you know, Matthew and I have got a lot of experience with big numbers. You know, he was with Gerald for a long time and I was with Iggams for a long time. So our systems worked, and you just got to sort of, you know, just stick to your guns, and eventually things turn around, and they did.
What numbers are you running now? And was there a period where you were finding it hard to get owners?
I think we're the quietest time we've ever had. We've got the least amount of horses we've ever had in work for a long time. Yeah, we've got down to about 50 in work, just a touch over. We had a lot of horses sort of reach their mark in the last 12 months, and they won their races, and we've moved them on. So I think we spent this year $1.3 million more than we've ever spent, knowing that...
When you say 1.3 more, how much is that in total?
We probably spend, you know, $2.5 million of our own money every year. You know, we just go and back our judgments and go out there and, you know, we don't buy the most expensive yearlings. I think this year I bought Odeon's brother for $300,000 in New Zealand, and that was the most we've ever spent on one horse. But, you know, going in there, I had that budget with a lot of the owners. So, you know, we're sort of been buying $50,000 to $100,000 yearlings for a long time and getting the results with those. So we try and stick to our guns. But this year we knew that we needed to up the ante a bit and just keep buying. And look, you know, to Shani and Matthew, my credit, we've got majority of those done. And the best thing is they're paid for. That's the best bit. Not a lot of interest being paid on those. But, you know, and this year we're going to have to go out and do the same and spend and buy a lot of yearlings again.
With Aristia, what's her target and what level do you think she can get to? Because sometimes we see these early spring three-year-olds that win the classics and they don't go on as four-year-olds. But where do you think she'll end up being?
Yeah, well, look, it's always... I had a chat with Tim the other day. Look, she's still a bit there. She still was floating when she was hitting the front. She was still doing a bit wrong. I'm not sure if she's a genuine stay, but we were always keen to get to the 2,000-metre mark. And that might be her, but, you know, at the end of the day, she's done her job. I think she was an $85,000 yearling. She's won nearly $1 million, and she's probably worth that as a broodmare. So, you know, to us, if she doesn't win another race, it doesn't matter. She's done her job in life for us and for First Light. But I think there's still a bit more in the tank with her, not just a one-hit wonder.
An emotional win for everyone involved. And I don't think I've seen Damien Lane speak the way he did post-race. So that must have made it even more special. And were you surprised to see him do that?
But look, he doesn't show a lot of emotion. You know, he does it tough with his weight a lot. So, he sort of keeps to himself a fair bit. But he's done a lot of work behind the scenes for us. He's at the jump outs every Friday and has for 5 or 6 years. He's there on a Tuesday when we need him and he gets the majority of our rides. So, you know, we brought him over from Perth. He was a bit green around the edges and a little bit homesick to begin with, but to his credit, he stuck to his guns and you know, Matthew put him up at his place and to Damien's credit, he could have got home at any time, which a lot of the kids have done when he was having a bit of a rough patch. But he stuck to his guns and worked hard. And, you know, to his credit, where he is today is because he's worked so hard.
Yeah, he's one of the best riders in Australia. Do you and Matt talk about the future? Because we know there's been a lot of discussion about what's happening at Caulfield and Flemington as well, that in 5 to 10 years, there'll be no training at Flemington. So are you already starting to plan for that future?
Not really. I think I'll mow lawns, I think, by the end of it. Look, it's sort of tough. It's whether the industry is going to go out and spend the money to create like an Epsom where Matthew and I began many years ago out this side of town. It's probably more on what they think our future is. I can't see myself going down to Pakenham, to be honest. You know, it's just for me, for my lifestyle, and I enjoy this side of town. I enjoy, the city life than down at Pakenham. So it's something I couldn't see myself in the future doing. So it happens to be in 10 years and there's nothing else created, I'd just walk away, to be honest.
You're only a young bloke, though.
Yeah, well, it's just sort of tough to go and move your whole life down to somewhere where you don't want to go. And if your heart's not even going down there, I think you're wasting your time, to be honest. But, you know, we'll let it all pan out in the next 5 to 10 years. I'm not too concerned about it at this stage. I feel sorry for these guys at Caulfield that, especially the older guys that, you know, they basically got to think about giving it away, to be honest. Mm. And because it's tougher to start again and do everything and start new routines, and you've got to have the energy to do it, and it takes a lot of energy to put systems in place and start all over again.
Would you like to see, and I know Amanda Elliott's spoken about it publicly on this program, that she would like to see a European-type setup where they buy a big parcel of land out towards Oaklands or somewhere nearby and set up a proper training precinct. Is that what you would like to see occur?
Oh, look, I was at Epsom for a long time, and when you think back now, and that was probably one of the worst decisions ever made to shut Epsom, to be honest. had land everywhere and could have been the best precinct of all time to train racehorses in. You can go to Bendigo, you can go to Sale. It's just so central to everything. It was a great community. The track facilities there were second to none. I mean, there was a lot of land for growth. So obviously that was probably, when you look back, I think a crazy decision. But if they can find a place in Oaklands and replicate somewhere like Epsom and we can buy our stable, you know, the rent's going through the roof again and, you know, at least your money can go somewhere. If you can buy and set up your own stable, it's probably a bonus.
What do the trainers think about what's going on at the moment between New South Wales and Victoria, the war, the battle, these new races and so forth? Is it the trainers, you're rubbing your hands because we want these big races? I don't care when they put them on, more money the better? Or do you think that it's not working in a positive for the whole industry?
I think to begin with, it was quite exciting. You know, we had Everest and then we've gone with our own mile race. But then I think it's got a touch out of hand. I think, the announcement yesterday, the 40 million, I think everyone, all the owners are rubbing their hands together more because our yearling prices are going up. Their expenses are going up. Our daily rate's going up. So everything's going up. So our general prize money needs to go with it if we're going to attract new clients. So to me, that's a more positive step than 7.5 million, 5 million, and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, the spring now in our staying races has got so hard to win. Mm. Everyone's promoting buying stays, but, you know, 5 years ago they were bringing the hurdlers out. Now they're bringing their A-graders because there's nearly $20 million on offer for these Europeans. So they'd be mad not to bring the A-graders. So now that part of the spring is going to be tough for us to try and get that sort of money. So I think if the prize money lifts on average every year, I think our trainers would be happy.
You don't care about the Sydney or Melbourne, just put the races on that suit us?
Look, I think we need to get together. I think Sydney and Melbourne can be work with each other and be a massive, massive plus for the industry. And I think, you know, our growth between Sydney and Melbourne working together, like the old TVN days, I just think it'll just go bananas. I think I don't watch any Sydney racing anymore. Not that I don't like it. It's just not shown to me on the TV. And I remember when TVN was on, I knew every horse in Sydney. I knew every horse in Melbourne. Mm. And that's how much interest it did create. And it creates characters too. You find out, you know, what the trainers are like in Sydney and vice versa in Melbourne, you know, just through their personalities and things like that. So
you'd be huge in Sydney, wouldn't you?
I'm not sure about that.
I suppose the flow on from that, though, is the different rules. And the headline one at the moment is the Regimate and New South Wales going out on their own compared to the rest of Australia. How frustrating is that from a trainer's point of view?
Well, Regimate's not used as a performance enhancing jump. It's used as a tool for trainers to keep fillies calm. It's just simple. We're not out there to cheat. We're not out there to make our fillies and mares faster. We're just out there to try and get the fillies to calm down, to relax, so we can train them properly, and the staff aren't in, and the track riders aren't in any in danger. You know, the fillies can turn on you just like that when they become in season. They can come in season on the way of the races. A lot of them come in season at the races. So it's just a tool that we all need, and everyone who trains racehorses. I've got the majority of the fillies on it. So there's no real advantage.
Have you found the alternative?
No, we just haven't even bothered. It's just...
Really?
Yeah, it's just got too hard. You know, you might find an alternative and might have a positive swab and you turn up race day and it's got a positive. So it's, you know, we just can't afford to get a positive swab. You can't afford to use a lot these days. So it's, you know, there's a lot of rules and regulations, which is fantastic. I'm all for that, but you know, I think they need to get to a solution pretty quickly.
We've seen the past 24 months has been a dark period for racing with the Aquanita scandal. How do you think racing is at the moment? Do you think we're on a pretty level playing field?
I think we're they're always working at it. There's a lot of, you know, out of competition testing. They're turning up. Obviously, you're never going to get it fully, because where there's humans and they're betting and people competing, they're always going to try and find an advantage, no matter horse racing, you know, Olympics, football, whatever. You know, everyone's trying to find that sort of advantage if you've got that mindset. Mm. So it's trying to, even just to try to teach the young trainers coming through, and as you're teaching them, that it's not a cool thing to do. And I think you train how you're taught when you're young. Matthew and I were trained by two of the best trainers going around, and Gerald Ryan and John Hawkes, and they'll clean as whistles. So, and that's how you end up training yourself. So, you know, if you can be a role model to the young kids coming through and the young trainers coming through, hopefully that can be an advantage to those guys, and they don't need to go there. So, look, there's always going to be it, and we all know that. But, I know they're doing their best to try and stop it.
You boys have been in good form of late. Let's talk about some of your runners over the weekend. And this period, traditionally, over the Christmas period, you guys have had a great strike rate, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. We're sort of running out of ammo a bit. We've got a lot of yearlings this year, so two-year-olds now.
Have you got a good one?
We haven't done a lot with them.
Is that code for yes, but I'm not telling you?
No. You know what I'm like. I'm straight up front. But look, the filly on Saturday, Palmy, she's a nice filly. Yeah. Trialled well. She just continued to improve throughout. Still quite raw. She'll run a nice race Saturday. And next time in, you'll see a really nice filly.
Is she got Blue Diamond potential or class?
It's whether it's going to come around a bit quick.
Yep.
She's just into a second campaign. We've had to really sort of push her to get her to where we have today. We took her to Werribee Monday, and we generally don't like to run them on the Saturday, but that race was there. So, look, she's a nice filly, and all she's done throughout is improve physically, mentally. So she's a nice filly, and you'll see the best of her in the autumn.
All right. Well, she's been well backed already, so you haven't had a little multi on her, have you?
No.
All right. Fallen Empire's emergency in race four at this stage, but a nice run last start. Drawn 19 down the Flemington straight. What are your thoughts?
I think he's a pretty good horse, this bloke. When he won 12 months ago, he whacked the back of his tendon. So we really had to treat it like a tendon injury. We've been 9 months sort of just doing rehab on the back of a trotting cart for 6 months. So we really had to treat it like a tendon injury. Like he did a tendon, and he's come back in great condition. And what he showed the other day, over 1,000, he probably shouldn't have done, to be honest. He had a massive blow. He was a bit rusty, and I think the 1,200 up the straight, if he gets a run, I think he'll run super.
Is he ready to win now, second up?
I think so, but it looks like a lottery, that race. I got a bit frustrated that Benchmark 64 horses can't even, they're just getting in getting a run. 72 raiders who are two ratings outside their rating coming in with a claim, and there's only 2 kilos between them. You know, it gets a little bit frustrating, but that's obviously the rules. But, he's a 62 raider and he's an emergency, so it gets a bit frustrating with that. But I think he's a horse to watch for the future.
How's Rock and Gold going?
He's going really well, actually. I think the 14's going to suit the claim, drawn well. He'll roll forward, and if he settles, he'll be right there. He probably should have won that Ararat. The brakes just didn't go his way, and to us, he looked like that he wanted further. We went back to 1,200, and he found him a bit slick for him. So definitely 14 with the claim at Flemington, he'll be in the finish.
And gee, Essence of Terror looks hard to beat in the last. Gets the claim with Lockie King to get in with 57 kilos, and Smart Coupe, who was disappointing last start. Which way are you leaning?
I think Smart Coupe just likes it firm. She's had two runs at Mowi and Ballarat on softish tracks, and they've been very average runs. We took her back to Kyneton on a firm track, and she put them away. So, you know, it depends on how the track comes up on Saturday for her. And she's the same Essence. She likes it quite firm. So it'd be interesting to see what this rain does.
Got an SMS coming through. Can you ask Simon if he's nominated Ollivander for the All-Star 1600? That's from Mark.
Mark, yeah. No, not yet. We've just brought him back. We've gelded him. given him plenty of time to furnish, and just hopefully he was going through a bit of a growth spurt after that tough campaign. And, we'll just bring him on nice and slow.
We've got a hell of a lot of SMSs, which I'm going to go through now with your horse crush. Luke from Shepparton said, tell Simon my horse crush was second base.
Geez, he's easily pleased.
Morning, gentlemen. I still have a crush on Mannington. Third in a Blue Diamond, third in a Newmarket. Sensational filly. She was a good filly, wasn't she? Beau Mistress. Do you remember Beau Mistress, the grey?
Yep.
Horse crush is Valedictum. Always wins at good odds. That's from Josh in Horsham. Zedative. Now, that's a horse that you would remember back in your day down there with Angus Almanasco.
Yeah, no, he was a super horse and a super sire. We had plenty of good horses by Zedative. With Hawksy, so he was a bit of a favourite of mine.
Now, that's from Marty in Parkdale. This is an interesting one. Pleach, cheers from Darren. Wonder if that's Darren Gouchy, who used to ride Pleach. So she was a very good, he was a very good horse back in the day. Did Simon's father have the milk bar on the corner of Warrigal and Centre Road Dandy?
Yeah, he did, and I sent a broker's, me and Matthew used to sit in there and eat all the profits and look at those naughty books with you and me.
If so, he was a true gentleman. So there you go. I've got a blanket ready for a sleepover with Yudita Clark and Rich Charm on it. Mighty Ming Dynasty, the grey, was definitely mine when I was a kid. My mum would concur with that, backing Ming Dynasty to win the Caulfield Cup at 50-1. Campaign King, he was a legend. Won about 8 straight. I was on every one of them. That's from Wes from Bendigo. So great SMSs. Well done to Benny, my producer, for his strange quirk of loving Lonro. He certainly started a lot of memories from the punters out there. An SMS just before you go. Will Booker be set for the Oakley Plate?
It's funny. We're just going to pick her up this morning. So she's going into pre-training. She obviously likes Caulfield. I think she's a handicap horse. We had a lot of problems with her throughout the spring. So I know she was a little bit inconsistent. But she's had a nice spell now. She seems to be over all the little niggly problems, and I think you'll see a good campaign from this time.
All right, we look forward to that. Leave us with one winner over the weekend.
One winner. I'm a big fan of Fallen Empire. I think, it's a bit of a lottery race, but I think if he gets a run, he gets a bit of luck, he's the horse to follow.
Mate, always great to catch up with you. Enjoyed the summer time. It's your favourite time of year, even though it's a bit overcast now. We love watching your colour change on the screens of racing.com throughout the summer. Good on you, mate.
No worries. Thank you.
Simon Zara. And what a spring carnival Simon and Maddie had. And we're looking forward to plenty more winners over the summer. Speaking of more winners, after this, Maddie Welsh will join us for the best from the trials.